worldviews, and the prophecies of the world to come.
But once again, greetings everybody. As I said in the first program of this series, that I have been speaking to you and will continue speaking to you in this series as no man has spoken in our time. I wonder if we realize the real danger that we're in this very moment. Now we find that those who know what is going on are very much alarmed, because even a private individual can now obtain, nearly at the stores at retail, the materials that can make a nuclear bomb. And we don't know when someone is going to start setting something like that off. And just recently, the President of the United States intimated in a message that was aimed at for Russia to hear and to understand that if they involve themselves too seriously in African affairs, that the United States, or if they invade Europe in any way, that the United States will use all the powers at our disposal, and he meant nuclear war. Now, we have come to the place where the weapons of destruction, of mass destruction, exist that can erase all human life off this earth and could do it 50 times over. And as one speaker has said, once would be quite enough, because there wouldn't be a man, woman, or child left on earth. And we don't know when these things are going to come. But I have very good news for you. Before that happens, the eternal God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is going to intervene. And he is going to send once again Jesus Christ back to this earth to rule over all nations and with the supernatural power of the Almighty Eternal God. And at that time, nations are going to beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks, and they will not learn war anymore. We're going to have a time of peace, and it's coming in our time. But first is going to come the supreme crisis. We're leading right up to it now. It's called the Great Tribulation in Matthew 24. It is referred to in Daniel 12 and in other places in the 30th chapter of Jeremiah in the Bible. And it is a time especially against this country, the United States, the British Commonwealth of people, and Western Europe. And we are the ones that are going to have to suffer for our evil deeds and for the things that we've been doing. We've been carelessly thinking we can get away with anything. Now that is all coming to an end. And in Matthew 24, Jesus Christ said that there will be a time of trouble such as never was since the beginning of the nation, and never will be again. So that unless those days were cut short, no flesh, not any human being, would be left alive. But he said, for the elect's sake, the people of God, those days shall be cut short, and Christ will come. Christ will never let this world destroy itself. As I say, now we have the weapons of mass destruction that could destroy all humanity, all human life on this earth 50 times over. But I bring you good news that we're just very close, and in our time and our generation, to the time when we will have peace for 1,000 years, where they will beat their swords into pruning hooks and their spears, their weapons of destruction into weapons of production. Now, why is this world filled with so much violence? Why are we in such a case? I have been in the last 10 years having private conferences, personal and private conferences, with many heads of state, many kings and prime ministers, presidents, and even two emperors, the only two emperors in the world, one of whom has since died, and Emperor Haile Selassie and the Emperor Hirohito of Japan. And I know that in Japan it is considered the greatest honor that could come to anybody in his whole lifetime to have a private meeting with Emperor Hirohito, and I have been given that privilege. And no one was allowed to go in with me at all except the United States ambassador, and he was not allowed to speak except to acknowledge the introduction and on our way out again. And we both talked there for some little time, and I enjoyed meeting him. I think he's not as old as I am, but he appears to be. Well, I think I'll go back to saying I'm only 39. I did go down to 38, if you remember, but now I've gone back up to 39, and I think about a year from now I'll have to go to 40. Anyway, I think it's time that we know why these things. There's a cause for every effect, and these events could not have happened. All of the troubles, and I don't need to go into a description of them, they're everywhere. Violence, crime, immorality, everything that you can think of that is wrong is rampant all over this world. It's in our nation. Someone, I think, said to Will Rogers one time, just, what do you think of civilization? And Will Rogers answered, well, I think it'd be a good idea if we had some. And as a matter of fact, that sort of sums it up, I think, pretty well. If I start to tell you about conditions now, you can't understand. I've said before in this series that we must go back to the beginning. It's like going into a motion picture or looking at one on television, and you start looking at about two-thirds or three-fourths of the way through the whole movie, and you don't understand because you didn't see what led up to it. You didn't see what came before. And consequently, you don't understand what you're seeing now. And that's just the way it is. We cannot understand. Why are human beings on the earth? Why did the Creator put us here? Or did we come from a single-celled amoeba in the ocean slime? As some scientists who are going to have a terrible job of unlearning before they begin to learn the true values and the real truth after the coming of Christ. And then they're going to find that sometimes our most highly educated people are also our most ignorant. We're going to see that, and it is much harder to unlearn what you've come to believe than it is to learn something new you never heard before. Much more difficult. Now, how did the world get this way, so full of evil? Is there a devil? And how did he come to be? Where did he come from? And that's what I've been showing you in the past programs in this series. We go clear back to the beginning. And as I have shown you, the first record of prehistory in the Bible is not Genesis 1:1, where it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But rather in John 1:1 in the New Testament, the fourth book in the New Testament, where it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. The Word was the one who later, as you read in the 14th verse of that first chapter of John, became flesh and dwelt among us. In other words, He came to be Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ then existed. We don't know how long, but it was for all eternity before He came 4,000 years after Adam to this earth as the Messiah with a message from God. But I have shown you that the first thing that God created was angels. And I have shown you, and this is so important, and I want to repeat it again. I want to repeat this as Franklin D. Roosevelt would have said, again and again and again, because I want you to really get it. The one thing that God Almighty cannot create direct and by fiat is perfect, spiritual, and holy character. That is something that must be developed. That is why we're on earth. But first God and the Word created angels. Then they created the physical universe that is described in Genesis 1, verse 1, the very first verse in all the Bible. And at that time, however, as you read in the 38th chapter of Job, the angels were already here, and they shouted for joy at the creation of this earth, because it was to be their home, their habitation. Before Adam, before the first human being ever appeared on this earth, suddenly created as a whole mature man and did not come up by a process of evolution, there were angels who inhabited this earth. I read to you in 2 Peter, the third chapter, of how the angels sinned. In other words, they rebelled against the law of God. God put his government over them. And in order to rule his government and to keep them in the right way, and incidentally, let me repeat once again that you cannot have a government without having it based on a law or a constitution. Even our city government, even the county and state governments, all are based on a certain type of constitution or basic law. And so it was the government of God that was placed over the angels on this earth. Now, the government of God ruled the entire earth at that time. And God placed a super archangel to rule. His name was Lucifer. Lucifer was the highest creation of angel that God himself could create. He was a super archangel. However, God could only instruct him in the right way, but he had to leave the choice to him, because otherwise there could be no character. And Lucifer chose the wrong way, and he led his angel into a rebellion. And the government of God was taken away from this earth, and that left only God, who had the type of character that would not, and because he would not, could not commit sin and go the wrong way. Now, sin is the transgression of that law that is the basis of the government of God. And it is a way of life. It is the way of love, of ongoing concern to want to help everybody else. The way of cooperation, the way of giving instead of getting. And I have said to audiences in capitals all over the world and to heads of governments that everything and the whole case today and the cause of all of our troubles is that we're living on the type of life of getting instead of giving. We want to get, we want to take. Now this Lucifer turned to the way that we now call human nature, and it came from him and not from God, and it is the way of vanity, to exalt your own self and debase others, to try to mount up above others. I remember so well a motion picture. I think it came very shortly after World War II. And it was a picture of Hitler and Mussolini. Who took those parts? I think Charlie Chaplin took the part of Hitler. And Hokey, what was his name? He took the part of Mussolini. And anyhow, here was Hitler and Mussolini, and one of them was visiting the other. I don't know whether they were in Berlin or down in Rome. But anyhow, they had the private barber shop of the Führer or the Italian leader, and it has a two-chair barber shop. That reminds me, really, of the one at Ambassador College at Pasadena. The men's barber shop was a two-chair shop, and which I have used many, many times. Well, anyway, in this thing, Mussolini reached down on the lever and jacked it up to lift him about half an inch higher. And Hitler saw it, and he took and jacked his up two times to make him a little higher than Mussolini. And then Mussolini jacked himself up a little higher, and then Hitler a little higher, and they kept on till they both hit the ceiling on top. Now, that was laughable, but it shows you that little quirk of human nature, of everyone wanting to make himself a little higher than everybody else. That, as I say, I haven't time to explain too much of that in this program, but that really has come from Satan, who is called in the Bible the prince of the power of the air. Now, we get through the air, and I know that probably every one of you in this country have a television set or two at home, and you tune in, and there comes the picture and the sound and the voices, the music, the whatever, and it's just coming through the air. You may have an inside aerial just above your set, or you may have one up on the roof. But let me tell you, in this room where we are right now, there are many voices. Only your ears can't pick them up because they're not tuned to the right wavelength. And you don't hear them. But you bring radio sets in here and turn them into a number of different radio stations and get them on the right wavelength, and you can boost up the sound, and you'll find that you'll have a great conglomeration of singing, of speaking, and of every kind of noise. It's in the air, but we're not hearing it. Now, it's marvelous, the things that we can send through the air today. Do you ever stop to think about that? We have come to the time, most of the inventions and the things we have come in my lifetime. Well, to get back to what I was saying, Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He broadcasts. Now, you may not realize it, but I have written a number of articles on it, and if you want to send in for the articles on what is the human mind, we can send it to you. How does the human mind differ from an animal brain? An animal just looks with dull eyes, and he's not thinking because he doesn't have thinking capacity. But he has a brain just exactly and precisely like a human brain. Now, they have taken apart the brains of whales, of elephants. They're all a little bit larger than human brains. And then of a chimpanzee, which is just slightly smaller. But all of them are exactly alike. And the human brain is not even probably 5% superior physically and in the physical brain itself. Why then do we have the ability to think and to think creatively, to reason and to make decisions? I'll tell you why. First, it's because God knew that he wanted to develop character within us, and in order to do that, he put a spirit within every human being. Now, that spirit is not a person. It is not an immortal soul. It is merely spirit essence, just like a handful of air. You remember Solomon had tried everything and every pleasure in the world. He built great projects for his nation, and he wanted to see what life was like, and he finally ended up saying that everything was vanity. He said it was like grabbing a handful of air. What have you got? Nothing. And it's time that many of us learned that lesson. Solomon learned it a long, long time ago. But the spirit in every one of us is just like so much air. It is not a person. It cannot think, it cannot see, it cannot hear. Your physical brain sees through the eye. Your physical brain hears through the physical ear. And it is your physical brain that does the thinking, but the spirit in every one of us transmits the power of intellect to that physical brain. Now, the animals don't have such a spirit, and consequently, they just don't think. They can be taught tricks. It's like an alarm clock. You can set it to go off at a certain time, and you can. I have a brother who has a dog that, that dog's probably dead by now because that was a good many years ago, and dogs don't live as long as we do. But anyway, he had trained this dog so that he could say, Rastus, or whatever his name was, which would you rather be, a live man or a dead dog? And immediately, of course, the dog had been trained to turn over on his back. And you can train a dog, but he had to do that again and again and again by repetition until the dog just got to doing it by force of repetition. Now, where does Satan come from? This Lucifer that was set as a super archangel over the angels of this earth before man was put here was said to be, and I read that scripture in the first one of the present series of programs, that he was perfect in all his ways from the day he was created. Now, he was a created being. He was not born. He was a specially created being, and he was perfect in his ways as God created him. But it says, till iniquity was found in him. But as I say, God couldn't force him. If God decided and made you have to do right and you could never do wrong, you would be just like a machine. You would not have any right of choice. You could not have any character. And character is the right to choose, and to choose the right instead of the wrong, to come to know the right instead of the wrong, and to have the self-discipline to force your own self, even against your own desires and wills and temptations, to do the right instead of the wrong. That is what character is. Now, God had told the angels the right way. He started this Lucifer out on the right track, but he turned his angels into rebellion against God instead of going the way of God. In other words, God's great law, the foundation of his government, was the way of love, the way of giving, the way of cooperating, away from self, not incoming, but outgoing, and the way of helping, of concern for the welfare of others, and not just for yourself alone. The way of humility instead of vanity. And as I often say, I'm speaking to audiences in national capitals around the world, it is the way of giving instead of getting. But this world is on getting. Now, how did we get that way? Well, first this Lucifer turned to it. And I read you the scripture in the 28th chapter of Ezekiel in a preceding program. And then he led his angels into that way. Now, as I say, it left only God, who had that supreme righteous character. God had a great job he wanted those angels to do, but they sort of flunked out in the test. And they disqualified themselves to go on. The job he had is a job that now is the potential of human beings, and the great potential that is ahead of us now, and that is that we are to go to the planets all over this vast universe and complete their creation and turn them from decay, which has come as a result of the sin of those angels and the sins of men, and turn them into production and into beauty, turn darkness and ugliness into beauty. God is the author of beauty. Satan is the author of ugliness. Now, this Lucifer, that was the super archangel, God changed his name to Satan the devil. Satan means Lucifer. Let me tell you first what his name Lucifer meant. Lucifer was a word which meant cherub, or shining star of the dawn. It meant he was a bringer of light and truth. But Satan is just the opposite. It is a rival, an adversary, or an enemy. And that is the meaning of the word Satan, the devil. Now, this Lucifer became Satan. He is an immortal being. And his angels became demons. And they get into people. I have cast a few of them out of people when they were in, and freed those people from that thing, because a demon can get into people and take control of their minds. Now, don't get alarmed, because a demon cannot get into you unless you completely lose your head in a rage of anger until you've lost all control yourself, or else you are seeking a spirit like some people, that instead of seeking the Holy Spirit of God, they just want to seek, because they call it the spirit, and they agonize and everything. That's let any old spirit come into them, and that's what does. The demon finally can. Now, I don't know of any other way a demon can get into you, so you don't need to worry, because if you don't do one of those things, no demon can get into you. But demons do get into people. Now, in the medical profession, I think they think they're insane. They don't know what it really is, because they don't know anything about spirit. They're ignorant of spirit. Of course, people think a doctor is like God and knows everything, but he doesn't. Well, anyway, God saw that he was the only one now. He knew that there's no use in trying to just create more and more angels. Well, a third of the angels had gone on. I don't know about the other two-thirds. The Bible doesn't tell us. But maybe they turned to the right way because they are called holy angels. And I think the Bible could not call them that if they had not made the right decision and gained that right character of holiness and of perfection, and in other words, according to the way of God, which is a way of life and a way of conducting yourself in relation to other people. Now, he came to be a devil. Then God created man. It was only God left, but God must have said, there are not enough of me. I've got to have millions and billions of beings with my kind of character that can go throughout this entire endless universe, throughout all space, and restore these that have come to a state of decay, and restore them to beauty and to production. So what was God going to do? Well, he said, I'm the only one that has that character, but there are not enough of me. So he said, I will create man in my own image. In other words, I will reproduce myself. Now, in order to do that, man had to go through this same thing of developing character, and he had to make his own decisions. And so in case man went the wrong way, instead of making him immortal as God had made the angels, God made man out of matter. That's why we're from the dust of the earth. We're only matter. There is a spirit in connection with our brain that imparts the power of intellect. But we are not spirit. In the second chapter of Genesis, verse 7, God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now the man was formed from the dust of the ground, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man, formed from the dust of the ground, became a living soul, not an immortal soul. That's one of the first things I learned in the Bible 50 years ago. That was the most shocking thing that had ever come to me in my life, to learn I was not an immortal soul. And to learn that the Bible says the soul sinneth, it shall die. And that Adam was a soul, and Eve was a soul, and God said to them, if you disobey me, you will surely die. Now God offered them eternal life and his Holy Spirit if they would follow his way of life.